Good morning. Are we on? Yes, we're on. Sorry. So, welcome this Palm Sunday. I would see Palm Sunday as a bit of a celebration Sunday, isn't it? When there's a bit of, you know, there's a bit of friction in the air. Not friction, what am I saying? Frisson. Sorry?
Frisson.
Anticipation, a frisson. Ooh, tell he's a French teacher, can't you? A bit of a frisson in the air. And I think all the crowds, can you imagine what it'd be like in that crowd? Waiting, knowing, no social media, you can't just go on and then thousands of people turn up. It's word of mouth, isn't it? But Jesus is on his way, so it must have been absolutely amazing. Father God, now that I'm yours and you are mine, I'll follow you to the ends of time. How many people in that crowd followed you, will declare that they'll follow you to the ends of time? Please feel free to pray out loud if you want to, or we'll have a bit of silence if you want to pray this morning. I've got exactly the same Bible verse written down, Malcolm. So it must be for somebody this morning, from Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Father, we know whatever we're going through this week, like Carol says, you are beside us. You walk beside us. You're behind us, cheering us on, but you're in front of us, guiding us. Whatever it is, wherever we go in this week, Lord, guide us in your wisdom. Guide us in your love. Because we know at the end of the week, things could be very different, especially for the Lamb who was slain. Father, we glorify your name this morning on earth. We can't thank you enough for the sacrifice you made for each and every one of us. Lord, you are the King of Kings. Amen. I think it's the lovely Carol.
Morning, everybody. Very warm welcome. Good to see so many of us here this morning. And of course, very warm welcome to those who are watching us on YouTube. Special welcome to Natalie. We panicked a tad because she had a bit of a hold upon the way here. We were thinking we might have to all muck in and do the sermon this morning, but no, the Lord had different plans. So thank you for coming. And thank you for the sung worship this morning. I thought it was amazing. I didn't notice any mistakes, but then I'm not musical, but the songs were just so brilliant and uplifting, so thank you for that as well. Well done. It is Holy Week, as we call it, don't we, when we think of Jesus, as Jan said, triumphant into Jerusalem, and everybody loving him to bits and wanting to get near to him and praise him. But of course, it all turns very nasty, doesn't it, later on in the week. But I just love Easter. I just think it's just an amazing time. And it's the core of our faith, isn't it? And of course, if it wasn't for Easter Sunday, all the Easter weekend, but particularly Easter Sunday, we wouldn't be here, would we? So we look forward to quite a few events happening this week, which I'll just remind you of. But first of all, after this morning's service, we have the annual general meeting for church members. So if you could just grab a cuppa at the end of the service, and then we'll get on with the meeting. Tuesday, the ARC playgroup are back up and running after the school holidays at 10 o'clock and then one again in the afternoon. And then the prayer meeting down here at church on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Busy day on Thursday. We have the lunch club down here at 12. And then in the evening, Jan is organising a service of reflection, and that's at 6 o'clock. We'll be having a simple supper. It is hot food. We're doing a kind of a lamb kind of casserole type thing, trying to be a little bit authentic about what might have been eaten at that time in biblical times, and just simple fruit and stuff. But the main point is that we'll be taking communion together and having a really lovely time to reflect on what's going to be happening the next day. So please, if you're able to come, please do sign up at the end. There's a sheet at the back just so we know how much food to prepare. And we are asking for a small donation of £3 per head, please. But as I said before, if that's a problem, it's absolutely fine. Please do come anyway. Then on Friday morning, Good Friday, we have a short service down here, very quiet, reflective again type service at 10:30, and then the walk of witness will begin from here at 11 o'clock. If anyone's not sure about what that is, it's the Aston Churches Together community, and we walk in silence from here following a cross that somebody will be carrying down to Swallownest at the bottom, where there's all those lovely flowers. Then we will have a very short service there before we walk back up. And we will be serving refreshments here in our church after that. No prayer meeting on Saturday, but on Sunday we have the open air service down at Ully Country Park. If anyone's not sure where that is, just ask someone. It's very easy to find. That starts at 8 o'clock. And then we have breakfast at church at 9, cooked full English. So please, again, if you could sign up, give us a few. If you forget to sign up, just turn up. There's always plenty of food, but it's just to give us a rough idea. And again, we're asking for a donation of £3 per head, please, just to cover the food. Then, of course, we have the big Easter celebration at 10:30. So quite a lot happening, lots of good stuff happening. There's some newsletters at the back still, I think. Please do take them if you think any of your friends or family or anyone would just like to come and join us at some point during the next week. So, Joe officially joins us as our minister tomorrow. That's the first day of your new role. And I just want to pray just briefly for her, and of course John, and just commit a ministry to the Lord. So Lord God, I just thank you for Jo. Thank you that she has at last got here to be our new minister. There's been lots of issues, lots of ups and downs, but Lord, we know that your hand's been upon it and you've brought her and John safely to us. I just pray for her now, Lord, as she begins a ministry at our church, that we will be able to help her and support her in any way that she needs, and that she will very quickly get into the role that you have planned for her. So we leave her now, Lord, in your care. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So I'll just pray, and I'll briefly introduce myself, because maybe there might be a few people that weren't here last time I was here. So Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can gather and fellowship with each other and with you, that we can come to learn more about who you are, Father. And I just pray for each person this morning, Lord, that they can receive the word that you have for them personally and as a collective body as well, Father. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I know the theme for today was meant to be the hope of the cross. I have again taken some liberties with this, but I do believe that the word that I'm bringing is really about hope, and it is the hope of the cross. But just a brief introduction. I'm Natalie, I'm from Leeds, and I'm on the leadership at Swarcliffe Baptist Church on the council estate where I grew up. I'm a psychotherapist, and I love talking about God's word. So let's get into it. So usually when I bring a word, it's always something that is very personal to me, something that God's really been speaking to me about, which is why I wanted to bring this word this morning. So I wanted to share a little bit about what God has really shown me over the last few months. It's been a bit of a challenging time, very tense at times, but it's been a really special time as well. And I don't often notice God working in my life sometimes. You know when you're watching a snail and you watch it and it's going so slow you can barely see it moving. But then you look away and you look back and then it's moved. And I'm a bit like that with when God's working in me sometimes. Like I don't really notice that things are happening and changing. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, that attitude or that behavior or that feeling has just changed in some way. So I'm going to start in Isaiah 55:8-9. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So for me, these verses are usually quite comforting, because I'm glad that God's ways and his thoughts are not like my ways and my thoughts. And that is a comfort. But there are probably times when me and probably other people in this room, when we want his thoughts and his ways to be like our ways. You know, in our limited experience, we can think we know best. We think, I know what I need. I know what I want. And, you know, we can probably all nod along as well and go, of course, God is, you know, higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways. You know, and like I said, I do think that's a comfort. But I do think it's really challenging as well at times. And I think even a little bit terrifying. Because how can we possibly comprehend him and how he chooses to outwork his purposes in our lives? You know, in the past, I think, you know, my early Christian walk, I had a very naive and optimistic attitude towards God's will for my life that has developed and matured somewhat. God knows it needs to develop more. But what I thought, I thought I knew what I needed. I thought I knew what my life was going to look like, what it should look like. But that didn't really turn out to be the case. As I'm sure of us, a lot of us have experienced. But if his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, you know, then we can, like I said, think all we want about what we think we need, but we can't possibly know what it is that we need. And this brought me to Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us." And we might wonder at times what this abundance is all about. We might take a step back from our lives and have a look and go, where is this abundance? And I certainly have at times gone, I don't see the abundance. And that can be really challenging and painful at times. But I think to understand what this abundance is, we first need to try and understand what is this power within us actually doing? What is it working at? And this brought me to Romans 8. So I'm going to start verse 24 and read to 29. It says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what it is to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So again, Paul confirms, we do not know what we are to pray for. There aren't even words for it. And I don't think this just relates to those times in life where we feel at a loss with a situation, you know, when we just, we've run out of prayers, we don't know what else to say. I just think this is really referring to life in general, that we really truly don't know how to pray for the state of our souls. But it does say that the Spirit is interceding for us. And so again, another question, what is the Spirit interceding for? And what is this power at work within us doing? And verse 28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So I think we all love that scripture. That's the one we all come to, isn't it? When life is challenging, we come to that scripture, and it's a great scripture. I love this one. And we should really be encouraged by this word, by this scripture. But our version of good might not always be God's version of good. They are not necessarily going to be the same thing. Remember, his ways are not our ways. So what exactly is the good that God is working at? Well, I think the next verse makes it very clear. In verse 29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." The purpose and the good that he is working into our lives is that we be conformed into the image of his Son. Meaning he is going to mold us, he's going to refine us, and he's going to conform us to the image of Christ, that we be like Christ. And that can sound amazing. Who doesn't want to be like Jesus? Who doesn't want to be like Christ? But it's not necessarily always going to feel amazing, like we've just been saying. You know, Jesus had this triumphant entry. By the end of the week, things were looking very different for him. So sometimes the circumstances God uses to conform us do not feel good. And I think as people, we don't tend to like to be conformed. We don't always like to change. You know, it's very difficult for us at times. There are hard things to let go of. And, you know, we don't always know the depths of the transformation that we truly need to ask for in our beliefs, our attitudes, our behaviour. And I don't think this comes in one of those wow, pow, glorious mountaintop moments. And those moments are amazing. I've had them. But I don't think it's that. I think this happens in the valley. Christ suffered many things and learned to be obedient. He was conformed to his Father's will and his purpose through the things that he suffered. And if he suffered, how much more do we need to suffer? Obedience can be a very painful experience. And God's plan, the only plan that we have to understand, is that he's working for our greatest good, and this greatest good is that we be like Christ. Nothing else. This is the greatest blessing that God can give us. And I think what I've realized recently over the course of this last year, it's been a challenging year at times, is that I don't really want to know God's plans for my life. I think if he showed up and told me what I had to go through to get to where I need to be, I'd probably leg it like Jonah. Nobody wants to really know what's going to happen. We're probably best living in the dark a little bit at times. You know, in the desert, when the Israelites were in the desert, God was trying to teach them to totally and utterly depend on him. The whole narrative of God's relationship with his people is, I love you, trust me, trust my ways. But they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. They didn't want to conform. And we've all been like the Israelites. When things aren't looking or going how we expect them to be, then maybe we start to doubt. We might ask, what good is God? What use are you? We may as well go back to Egypt, where we ate well, and so on and so on. I'm not really sure what they were remembering, because they were in slavery. So the fact that they said they were eating well, they changed the narrative suddenly because they don't like the situation that they're in, or it doesn't look like how they want it to look. Suddenly they're wanting to go back into slavery. But God was trying to conform them into a holy people, you know, to reflect his glory. And this is the same purpose for us today, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And when God brings us into deeper realms of freedom, we may behave in the same way as the Israelites. He brought them into freedom, and yet, because it didn't look like how they wanted it to look, they wanted to back off. Now, if we track back up and I find encouragement in the previous verses, so in 8:24, it says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. See, this process can be fraught with frustration and pain and longing and confusion. But I do take hope that though I don't yet see myself as conformed into the image of Christ, you know, God called all things, everything that was created, everything we see was created out of what wasn't seen. So although we don't see it, it doesn't mean that he can't call it into being. And we are going to suffer. And out of that suffering, something far more precious than a settled life is given to us, if we allow him. We can't always know what it is that we need. And it reminded me of the disciples. You know, they walked with Jesus for 3 years. And that whole time, they thought they knew what they needed. What they needed was Jesus to conquer the Romans and take over and set them free. That was their idea of freedom. That's what they needed. But they couldn't possibly know that actually what the thing that they needed was Christ on the cross. There is no way they ever would have been able to ask and pray for Christ on the cross. And even though Christ told them, even when it was happening, even after it happened, they still didn't know what it was that they needed. They needed Christ on the cross, but it was the last thing that they would have ever thought of. And they suffered greatly because of that. You know, Jesus said to them in John, if you understood or trusted in what I'm saying, then you would rejoice over what's about to happen. But they just couldn't trust and they just couldn't accept it. And instead of rejoicing, there was despair. A long time ago, back in, I think it was about 2011, I was in a very dark place. I'd grown up as a Christian, but I strayed away from my faith and became very desperate. And, you know, one night I'd gone to bed and I just said to God, and I had no expectation of God answering this prayer. And it was a very simple prayer. And all I said was, God, I am exhausted trying to be happy. I've done everything that I can and nothing has worked. So you do something now. I didn't ask him to change my circumstances, and they weren't great. I didn't ask for anything specific, only that he would do something. And, you know, the next morning I woke up and everything was still the same, but I was changed. I had such a joy in my heart that I'd never experienced before. And it always confused me for a long time, like, God, why did you answer that prayer? I'd prayed like the summer before and had nothing. But I've come to realize, I think recently, that the reason that God answered that prayer is because I was making a confession of my failure to lead my own life, of my own inadequacy. And I think at that point, God was like, right, Jesus, we're in there. She's finally letting go. And it changed my life when I did. 3 years ago, I'm an artist as well. Well, on and off, try. And I'm sat in my space where I do my art, and I'm just sat on the floor crying. I've been trying to plug away at this for a long time and just been frustrated after frustration. Things, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I'd been reading this book about just being thankful in all circumstances. I was like, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for the frustration and everything. And you know, 3 years later, I've made little to no progress with my art, but something more important has changed within me, in my attitude and my relaxed trust in God, that actually it's not about that. It's not about how successful I am in these things, but whether I'm trusting God. And that was far more important for God to work into me than it was for him to give me a successful career in art. Because that's what matters most to him. He loves us so much. He gave us his only son that through the cross, we would be saved and sanctified. And I used to have these verses on my wall, and again, I feel like I had a much deeper revelation of these verses more recently, and it's in Job 22, and it starts at 21 to 28. And it says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you remove injustice far from your tents, if you lay the gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the torrent bed, then the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you and you will pay your vows. You will decide on a matter and it will be established for you and light will shine on your ways. See, we can struggle so much against this process, but there's just no point doing that. It says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. So agree with God. Agree with God in the most dire of circumstances that he is working this for your good, that you may be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I don't think this means that we have to put up with every situation and circumstances. You know, we don't endure suffering for suffering's sake. That's something else, and we need to discern the difference. But we will suffer in the Christian life. And if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the torrent bed. So what it's saying is if you put everything else away, anything that you're putting your trust in, anything that you might be idolising, throw it away as if it's nothing. And then God will truly be all that you want and need. And that's the most freeing place for any of us to be, when we are just so reliant and trusting in him for what we need. And then it says, you will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. So when we become a Christian, you know, we enter into a covenant. You know, and all covenants come with vows, expectations, like the marriage covenant. You know, you make those vows when you get married. But we cannot, without putting our trust in his transformative power, fulfill those vows. We don't have the strength to do that. In John 14 to 17, you know, to 17, in those kind of three chapters, he repeatedly says, obey my commandment. And the commandment that he was asking us to obey was to love each other as he had loved us. But we can't fully obey the command to love unless we go through this process of being conformed and transformed. Because only Jesus loves as the Father loves. We don't have the ability to love in that same way. So we need to be transformed so that we can obey that commandment to love as he loved. It says, you will decide on a matter and it will be established for you and light will shine on your ways. You know, this feels like a big responsibility. I will decide on a matter and God will establish it for me. I don't know about you, but I struggle to choose my flavour of ice cream at times. So I'm not sure I'm ready for that responsibility yet. But on a serious note, he also repeatedly says in these chapters, be one with me, abide in me. And in effect, he's saying, be just like me, and whatever you ask for in my name, it will be done. So when we are one with Jesus in this way, we know his heart so well that we pray from his heart, not our own heart. And to really fulfill the vows to God, to love him and to serve him, we must again be conformed to the image of Christ. And this, I think, is the core calling for us all. You know, we all have purposes and plans that God's given us to outwork this and to live this out. But I believe for every single one of us, this is the calling, is just to be like Jesus in whatever way God's called us to do that, in whatever setting. And we could not have this hope of being like Jesus had he not gone to the cross. We might not always understand his thoughts and his ways, but we can be assured of his power at work within us. It's the power and the life of his son. You know, and I was thinking about the story of Joseph. You know, he went through some real trials, but at each point he chooses to put his faith in God, trusting that God is working something greater in and through his life. And eventually, you know, he works his way up right to the top, and his position there makes sure that him and his family are rescued from this famine. And he glorifies God because of that. And there's another story of Habakkuk, the prophet, and he's seeing all these things around him and going, God, look at the state of things. What are you going to do? Why are you not doing anything? And God comes back at him with a response that terrifies Habakkuk. But although it terrifies him, he chooses to trust. You know, whereas Jonah ran away from God's plan, you know, Habakkuk goes, I don't understand, but I trust that you are God and that your ways are perfect. I was thinking, I had this little, I was praying about this the other day, praying about the change. You know, our church at the moment, we're going through, we're doing some relational training every couple of Sundays. And really that is to prepare us for the work that we feel God's got for us on the estate. You know, we feel that we need to work on our relationship with God and each other before we can start helping other people. And I was praying about this, and this might seem like a really strange analogy, but bear with me. Does anybody take those vitamin C tablets that you put in water and they dissolve? Yeah. I take a lot of them when I'm ill. And I was thinking sometimes, you know, when it goes in there, sometimes there's a gentle fizzing, and that's how the Christian life feels sometimes. You're gently having those worldly things eroded, and you're totally fine with that. You're just bobbing along. And then suddenly, those tablets, they'll go a bit manic, and they'll sink to the bottom, and then they'll pop back up, and they're whizzing round the cup. And I think we're a bit like that sometimes as well. We get a little bit like, no, I don't want to change. And we're fighting, and we're struggling, and we're wrestling with what God's trying to do in our lives. And we're running around, we're trying to avoid it, and we're down on our faces, and we're back up again. And then suddenly we go, okay. Because as we slowly erode, and the Spirit keeps touching more and more of our lives, and suddenly we dissolve, and we dissolve into Jesus. And I just thought, for me, because I'm a visual person, I like to have a little visual. That's what it feels like, I think, sometimes being a Christian. The Spirit touches part of our lives, and sometimes we're okay with those bits of our lives eroding and dissolving and going away. And then there's other parts that we really struggle with it. But Jesus is so, so patient with us. He knows the struggle. So my main prayer going forward has been, Lord, conform me to the image of your son. And I'm trying now to look at all the circumstances that I'm in through that lens. God, what are you doing in me now? What are you trying to change? What's there that shouldn't be there? How are you trying to conform me into the image of Jesus? You know, a few months back, we were having a very, very challenging time at church. It was very difficult. And ordinarily, I would have probably been in a state of high anxiety. But I realized that having gone through some other things prior to that, really wrestled with some things, that I wasn't reacting anymore in the same way that I used to react. And I felt like I could really trust God, even though it was painful. And I can say it was very painful, and I grieved and I cried. It didn't mean that it wasn't painful and I didn't cry at times just because I trusted God. But I really did feel that sense of peace that he truly is in all of those circumstances, even when I can't make sense of it. And even now when I look back, I still can't make sense of some of it. But my prayer is, God, conform me to the image of Christ. Whatever else is going on, that's what I know I need. You know, we're all going to have needs. And Jesus assures us that our Father in heaven already knows all of those needs. So don't worry about them. And it's not to say that we shouldn't pray about them. You know, Paul says we should pray about everything. We bring it all to Jesus. But what his heart desires and what I believe he wants us to pray is this. God, help us to receive the work you are doing. Help me to let go. Help me to agree with this process and give thanks. Even when it hurts, even when I grieve, and when there is joy, and when there is gladness, because we can rest assured that God is doing a great work in us, and that the power is working within us to conform us, to change us, and to transform us into a people that can truly serve his purposes and not just our own. And it was a bit of a shorter message today, and that's all I have for this morning. I just want to pray, and just pray, just maybe we could just have a moment, just for anybody to sit there and just talk to God. Is there something in your life that's really challenging right now, or has been challenging, or you're expecting to be challenging? And can we just give the Holy Spirit some time, maybe just to speak to us about that? So I'm just going to pray and just allow God to minister to you. Father, I do pray, God, Lord, it can be so hard, and you are so familiar with our struggle, Jesus. That's why you came, so that you could know how hard it truly is at times for us. And Lord, I'm sure there are people sat here today that have been through challenging times, that feel confused by them, don't understand them. But I pray that in the midst of them, all of this, God, that you'll show them where you're trying to bring change, where you're trying to help them to trust in you for absolutely everything that they need. And it could be relational, it could be financial, it could be a work situation, it could be an emotional situation, whatever it might be. I just want to give a few minutes now, Holy Spirit, for you to come and just shine your light into these circumstances, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you more and more, to let go of the things that we need to let go of, and to think the way you think, and to live the way that you live, Jesus. Lord, I truly believe that as we trust more and more in you, you trust more in us to take on more responsibility. And so, Lord, I do pray that we can be conformed not to the culture around us or to this world and the ways of the world. And we know that the world is divided and there are so many troubles right now in the world, but you are not troubled. You're not troubled by those things, and you're not troubled by our troubles. We can bring them to you. And so, Lord, I do pray for that great work to continue in each and every person to know you more. For that is eternal life, is to know you, God, to know your ways, to know your truth. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I pray that we'll all have a good week this week. But we've got business to do, we know that. But Lord, you are in the business, and you are in the week that we're going to have. We already know that you've gone before us. This week is all planned out. But guide us through it, Lord. Be with us as we live it. But be with us as we love you more. We pray this in your mighty name and for your sake. Amen. Amen. shall we share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.